We are 1 month away from training camp, and we keep on hearing about Walker Kessler. We're going to go over a rumor that we just came across. I guess where there's smoke, there's fire. They're playing
basketball. Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered. Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? I'm your host, Anthony, joined by my podcast co-host, Chris. This is episode 63 of the Knicks Nation Podcast. It is another recorded edition. We came across an article stating that the New York Knicks are still knocking on the door for Walker Kessler. So we decided to talk about it. But first, what's going on, Chris? How are you tonight?
Doing good. Enjoying, the off season. Obviously, news is kind of slow, but one thing that has stayed consistent is Walker Kessler, the Utah Jazz, and the New York Knicks. How are you doing, Ed?
Look, we got 1 month from, I think media day is literally the last day of September, and then training camp is the next day. You can start your training camp after that. So, look, you got a month left for the summer, right? And the New York Knicks are pretty much set in stone with their team. But over these last, over this last week, we heard a rumor regarding Walker Kessler. And look, Walker Kessler's name has been linked to the Knicks. It was linked to the Knicks last month. And I found it interesting that in this past week, we're a little late with it, but kind of wanted to, gather our thoughts on it and really go through it and talk about it in depth and why it makes sense for the New York Knicks to do this. But yeah, it's just interesting that his name just keeps on coming up, Chris. I mean, you know the saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. But, it was kind of the same thing with OG Anunoby's name kept coming up. I'm not comparing it, but, it's especially now with the New York Knicks dealing with their backup center position. It's interesting. I have some thoughts on it, and I'll tell you that. I have some thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you say, it's similar to the OG Anunoby, news back in obviously when we still had RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly. I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true. I mean, obviously, two different types of situations. Obviously the Knicks were reeling at the time when a lot of the OG Anunoby news was coming out, or rumors, I should say. And now we're in the offseason, And the Knicks are looking, obviously the Knicks have a glaring hole at backup center position. And Walker Kessler's name keeps popping up. But, it makes me wonder, why are the Utah Jazz even entertaining offers for a Walker Kessler? He's a really young dude, man, and showed a lot of promise, Again, I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, an all-star or anything like that, but he's a solid 7-footer, who can help many teams, to be honest.
Yeah, the Jazz are kind of in this, they want to tank, but Danny Ainge wants to, acquire all these picks. And, the Danny Ainge aspect in this whole thing is kind of fascinating as well, because, as we all remember, Knicks were interested in Donovan Mitchell, and, Knicks are, very well aware of, Danny Ainge's antics. Literally went to Cleveland. The Knicks, I think, tried to call his bluff, and they literally took the Cleveland deal, and that was the end of that. So there's some history there. And yeah, let's get to this article, and then we'll go through it. So this is from those of you listening, I'm just gonna share my screen on YouTube. So if you're listening on the auto side, I'm going to obviously go through it. So this is from, who is this reporter that? This is from Jared Koch. Utah Jazz have discussed Walker Kessler trade with the New York Knicks. It seems Utah could be in the market to move one of their young pieces in a trade and could have even had some conversations about a deal earlier this summer. According to Eric Pincus, that's Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. He reported that, excuse me. The Jazz have discussed, a trade revolving the 23-year-old center Walker Kessler with the New York Knicks, with a young big man potentially not part of Utah's long-term plan. Then the quote from Eric Pincus, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Per multiple sources, Utah has discussed Walker Kessler previously in trade, including a stalled conversation with the New York Knicks. He doesn't seem part of the team's long-term plan. So, Kessler, who was once named a Rookie of the Year finalist in his first year in the league, is coming off a bumpy sophomore campaign, like you were saying, Chris. And then it goes on to say that the Knicks have been longing for a center ahead of the NBA season amid the departure of Isaiah Hartenstein. Yeah, and then that's pretty much the article. So, Chris, when you see it says stalled, including a stalled conversation with the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
When you see that, what goes through your head?
It's kind of like flashbacks to like what you mentioned, the Donovan Mitchell, rumors.
Yeah.
Right. There was a report, and I believe this was Ian Begley who reported it, that the Knicks had offered two firsts for Walker Kessler. So could it just be simply the Knicks were like, hey, we'll give you guys two firsts for Walker Kessler, who apparently you guys don't want on your team anymore for whatever reason. You know, you guys are rebuilding. Here's two picks. And I guess the Utah Jazz and Danny Ainge were probably like, yeah, no, we want something else. We want a young player or something like that. So could that have been the time where, you know, these talks stalled per se? Who knows? But one thing I will say is that it's always a battle, it seems, when we try to trade with the Utah Jazz and Danny Ainge. I mean, look, I wouldn't be surprised if, we hear more about the Knicks offering, a first and a young player or something, and the Utah Jazz pivot and send it Walker Kessler to some other team for probably something less.
I do want to figure out why they're trying to trade him, but maybe they don't view him. I mean, this article clearly says they don't view him in the team's long-term plan. So, cool. I don't know exactly. I think Danny Ainge is a little bit overrated. I don't know exactly what he's trying to accomplish there in Utah, but I mean, look, you want to suck, then suck. If you want to, like, they had an okay season last year. I mean, that's probably not where Danny Ainge wants to be. So right. I guess that's why he wants to trade Kessler. He had a good rookie year last year, and I even thought he was like okay in terms of, you know, ranking him regarding the center position. But I've heard a lot of like the Knicks can play small, and look, Thibs did that a little bit in the season, like half of last season. But Tom Thibodeau traditionally likes to play a traditional big in the lineup. So this is why Mitchell Robinson is so important this season for the New York Knicks. And, you know, we've been talking about it throughout our last episodes about how the Knicks can kind of manage Mitchell Robinson's workload and kind of, you know, ease him in and kind of, you know, maybe doesn't play back-to-backs and kind of, you know, limit his minutes. We just need him healthy for the playoffs. But, Chris, I mean, if you look at the strengths and weaknesses of this roster, I personally think the center position is a glaring issue. Now, can Rando and Precious and OG and somewhat of Jericho Sims and maybe Huck Porty? In my opinion, you're still needing that big because you're banking on a healthy Mitch Robinson. And that is not really a good thing to bank on. You know, so
yeah, I mean, look, it's something that I think you can get away with in the regular season, right? Obviously, the Knicks have plenty of firepower, plenty of defense, you know, especially with who we got roaming on the wings now. But like you mentioned, you're banking on Mitchell Robinson being healthy. look, he had a fairly healthy season, you know, recently, outside of, you know, obviously coming back and then getting re-injured by Joel Embiid in the playoffs. But, you know, I just think that's a big if, you know, banking on Mitchell Robinson staying healthy for the majority of the season.
Yeah.
And that backup center, like I said, we can get away with some small ball here and there with Julius Randle, maybe, you know, Sims, like you said, maybe even Huck Porter, Precious. You know, they could fill that role, but when it comes time to the play playoff basketball, I think that will get exposed. You know, we need somebody there that can kind of anchor that backup big spot. Because I think if we don't address it, which I know we will at some point, but if we don't address it, that could be the end of the season right there in itself, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah, so the reason why we keep bringing up Kessler and the reason why his name keeps coming up, Chris, is the Knicks did kind of something interesting this summer. They kind of already strengthened a strength in terms of the guard position. You know, they drafted Tyler Kolek. They signed Campaign. Deuce McBride is here for another year on a great contract. They re-signed Jalen Brunson. Dante now moves to the bench. You acquire Mikal Bridges. So your guard depth is pretty much set in stone. But the Knicks are in an interesting position because I think that Campaign signing was kind of them saying, you know, if we were to trade a Tyler Kolek, if we were to trade a Deuce McBride, we need someone else to handle the rock and shoot the ball. So they kind of gave themselves a glut of guards just in case a trade was to come about. And if you're Utah, if you're Danny Ainge, who are you wanting on the New York Knicks? If you're Danny Ainge, who are you going to want?
You're wanting a young player. You're wanting a nice young player on a good contract that's controllable.
You know he's going to haggle over Deuce. I think if it's Deuce, I'm not giving him picks, right? I think Deuce right now is a better player than Kessler. But is Deuce... This is so tough, man. Like, it's...
It's tough, but I could see...
Like, what's more... I guess I'm going to pose a question to you now. What's more valuable? You know, a quality starting center, a healthy quality starting center to kind of give you that reinsurance from Mitchell Robinson, or 10 to 15 spot minutes of Deuce McBride off the bench when you already have Campaign? You like what you see in Tyler Kolek. I know he's a rookie. I'm not. This is me having high expectations of Kolek. He could come in and, you know, just hit a wall and not really play well. He's a rookie. It's if Tom Thibodeau wants to go through those pains. That's the risk you take when you're trading a Deuce McBride. But, you know, what's more valuable? A quality starting center, healthy, or 10 to 15 spot minutes of Deuce McBride when you already have a Campaign, when you already have a minute situation with Dante and, you know, Deuce and... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and when you pose it like that, I mean, if I'm just strictly thinking team and not, you know, with my, my Knicks pride, yeah, I mean, it's definitely that backup big spot. You know, that's the more important, that's the more pressing issue.
Or you know, starting. Like you mentioned.
Exactly. So, as much as it would kill me to get rid of, you know, excuse me, not get rid of, but let Deuce McBride go, if I'm getting a quality backup big like a Walker Kessler, maybe at the most giving away a pick, maybe.
I don't think it would have to be that.
I'm sure Danny Ainge is going to try to squeeze every little thing he can get. You know,
but I think a more realistic trade will probably be like a Tyler Kolek mixed in with. We still have some tradable first round picks. I think that would be like more realistic trade. But I'm just saying Danny Ainge will probably come back with, you know, what's up with Deuce? Like, what are you going to do with Deuce? He's on the bench. Doesn't really, you know, get playing time. You know, now that you have Dante on the bench and you got to figure that out. So I'm just trying to see the vision of Danny Ainge. But I think more of a realistic trade would be a Kolek and like a first round pick. Because at the end of the day, like, Walker Kessler is a nice player, but like he's not.
You know what? Well, let me ask this: do you think he's worth two first round picks? Granted, not knowing which of those picks it is, but you know, it's rumored the Knicks offered two first round picks for Walker Kessler. So you wouldn't do it
with our draft capital that we currently have. That's tradable. You have to ask yourself, are you willing to trade the draft capital that, you know, the I mean, we really don't have much to trade anymore. I think we have two tradable first round picks, two or three left. And obviously we have a bunch of second round picks. You have to ask yourself, is that, you know, the direction you want to go in trading for Walker Kessler? Because the Knicks could view him as a starting center too. You know, maybe they like Mitchell Robinson on that bench role. You know, I mean, when Hartenstein was here, Mitch was on the bench role and he played amazing off the bench.
I personally liked it a lot. It was kind of a way that you can, you know, monitor him a bit more and kind of control, you know, when he gets his spots in the games and kind of protect him in a sense, you know. I mean, granted, I'm sure they could do that with him starting as well, but I did like Mitch a lot in that backup big role. I thought that was just awesome. But in the reality, you know, we live in now where Isaiah Hartenstein is now at OKC. You know, if you ask me, I think I would go the two first round picks for Walker Kessler. I'd rather give away the picks, man, than a young promising player like Deuce. You know, granted, like you mentioned, we do have campaign. And we do have Tyler Kolek now. So
Dante and Hart, you know, they're all going to play.
Lots of guys that can basically handle the ball if you needed them to, right? It's not like you need Deuce to handle the ball. This was like, you know, one of our major weaknesses, you know, the past season. We just, the depth that we once had wasn't there anymore. And, you know, granted, Deuce McBride took strides. We all seen it. You know, but I find it odd that the Utah Jazz would balk at two first round picks for Walker Kessler, you know, granted. And I don't think I could see them wanting Deuce that badly simply because they got guys like, you know, Colin Sexton is still there. They have Chris Dunn still there. They have Mike Conley still there. You know, obviously, you know, some of these guys are older guys, you know. You got a lot of veteran guys there. Kind of like, it's a weird team, you know? It's like, are you trying to compete? Are you trying to tank? You know, they just signed Lauri Markkanen to a long-term deal. And maybe that's the only thing I could think of, right? You know, Lauri Markkanen is also a seven-footer. Granted, plays the power forward spot. Walker Kessler can kind of stretch the floor a bit at that five spot. Maybe they just don't mesh well, whatever the case may be. But, you know, it kind of...
Conley's kind on the Timberwolves. Sorry to cut you off, but Conley's on the Timberwolves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But makes me wonder, you know, still, why balk at two first round picks?
I think I would rather give them the two first round picks and Kolek, and, you know, rather than Deuce, because I think Deuce for Walker Kessler works straight up. So I think Deuce is on such a team-friendly contract that I really don't want to give that away. And Deuce took a major stride last year. I did big shots in the first round versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And that was really his first major playoff experience. So you build off of that. And I think I would rather do that. Because worst case scenario, Chris, you come into the season, Mitch Robinson's not healthy. I mean, you need a big. You do. I know a lot of Knicks fans are saying, like, we can get through it. We can play small ball. It sounds great, but knowing the history of Tom Thibodeau, and, you know, he normally loves the traditional big down there, and rebounding was an issue without Julius Randle, and which is precious there. Without Mitchell Robinson, it was an issue. So, I mean, and Kessler does that. You're talking about, you know, building a championship contending team at this point. You know, and at this point, if you add Walker Kessler to this team and subtract the guard, I think that makes you better, in my opinion. You know, because it gives you that insurance that you need. It gives you a starting caliber center. It pushes Mitchell Robinson back on the bench. It even can make Mitchell Robinson expendable. You know, Kessler's still on under team control, under a great contract. So you still have options regarding that. And, but yeah, I thought that this is interesting. It's interesting, you know.
It makes sense, you know. It does make sense. And yeah, I mean, look, I'm still looking over this Utah Jazz roster. They have Kyle Filipowski, right? So that's another young big that can play the four, the five. He's a 7-footer as well. Obviously, really highly touted prospect. Shown that he can shoot the rock. So again, more redundancy and more reasons why it looks like the Jazz are, you know, just trying to cut ties with Walker Kessler. So the only thing that worries me is, of course, obviously the Utah Jazz know the New York Knicks are dying for a backup big. So obviously they're going to use that to their advantage. And that's where I can see, you know, all right, you're probably going to have to give up somebody you maybe you don't want to if you want to make that deal happen, especially considering you're dealing with Danny Ainge.
Yep. Mr. Ainge. All right, Walker Kessler. He plays, man. Rookie year, 74 games, 23 minutes, 72% from the field, 51% from the line, 2 blocks a game, 8 rebounds, 3 offensive, almost a half a steal a game, 9 points. Last year, 64 games, only started 22 games. So he's been coming off the bench for the Utah Jazz. So, you know, he's primarily a backup big at this moment, but he is still super young and can start. Because his rim protection is elite, you know, two and a half blocks a game, 7 rebounds. His rebounding can improve a little bit, but his rim protection is elite. And, you know, you pair that up with the guys, and I think that, you know, you have yourself a squad. But, you know, if I was to ask you, Chris, what's our glaring issue? It's mainly that, man, because after the loss of Isaiah Hartenstein, it's like we're all hoping that Mitchell Robinson can have a healthy year, and, you know, we're praying for it, hoping for it, have a bounce back year, and we just need him in the playoffs, man. That's all I care about.
I mean, it sucks. I wish Isaiah Hartenstein re-signed with the Knicks. Obviously, we wouldn't be like ecstatic. Our roster would be extremely insane, in my opinion, you know. But, you know, I am still surprised the Knicks kind of, How do I say it? Did they drag their feet on this? Did they just think somebody else was going to be available? I know the iHeart thing. I mean, maybe you could say it dragged on a little bit. I don't feel like it took too long. But look,
that's why that campaign signing was so interesting.
Yeah, and I agree, because obviously the Knicks saw what campaign did, you know, during the playoffs, you know, when he was with Philly. So it's like, are you really signing that guy just to kind of, you know, all right, be a cheerleader? Or are you signing him for what he did in the playoffs and how he can help your team, you know?
And just in case you were to trade somebody.
Exactly, yeah. And then I also thought it was interesting, too, with Tyler Kolek, right?
Yeah.
We heard he's a good young player, obviously. But he didn't really look to score the ball too much, you know? In summer league, it's like almost like they told him, hey, let's see what you can do from a creation standpoint. Can you create for others? You know, and what did he do? He went out there and ran that team, and it was assist after assist after assist with barely almost no turnovers. So, you know, there could be something there, man. There could be something there where they're just like, you know, trying to convince themselves maybe, like, should we include Deuce in a trade for Walker Kessler?
It's an option. Yeah. What, they're giving themselves options. They're giving themselves, you know, some different ways to acquire another backup big if, you know, it was to come to that. And, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, even with, you know, I always thought, like, it's like, what would you rather have, a backup point guard or back, or like a starting quality center that can rim protect at a high level? You know, we had the same situation with Emmanuel Quickley. Like, he was on our bench, he wanted a payday, different situation. Knicks didn't want to pay him that much. But, you know, let's say you trade, God, I'm just throwing this out there. Let's say you trade Deuce McBride. You still have Campaign, Dante, Josh Hart, Tyler Kolek, and now you add Walker Kessler to that mix. You know, it's interesting. You're asking a lot from Kolek, though, to handle the basketball. You know, that's the thing.
So yeah, you're already seeing the Tyler Kolek, you know, off-season workout videos popping up. It's interesting, man. It's definitely an interesting situation. And look, it's not to say that something's going to happen per se. It could also just be we end up, you know, keeping our guys as is.
Yeah.
And down the road, maybe midway through the season, we add a piece, you know, maybe somebody shakes loose. You know, it could just be simple as that as well. But I kind of feel like, you know, as far as the Knicks and the Utah Jazz go, maybe the Utah Jazz have a certain price in mind for Kessler. The Knicks most likely know what that price is. And it could, again, it could be similar to the Donovan Mitchell situation where the Knicks are just like, look, we're going to stand pat here. I'm sure nobody's knocking down your door for Walker Kessler. And hopefully, you know, hopefully it doesn't blow up in our face again, you know, especially if it's a decent deal.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. It's you know, it's an interesting conversation. I'm glad we're having it. So it's interesting. It's really interesting because, you know, as we stated in our last podcast, Mitch Robinson has not done any basketball activities and we have 1 month to go for training camp. So as we all know, as it's currently stated, I don't think he's been in the gym. Like, he hasn't done any basketball activities, right? I'm sure he's been, have I not seen anything? Maybe he's doing stuff that we don't see, but, you know, he's still rehabbing. So
yeah, he's still rehabbing. I haven't seen anything saying that he's doing any type of on-court activities or anything like that. I mean, the way I see it right now, it's gonna be like, what, Precious is gonna be our starting big, you know, the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look like he, you know, I'm sure he's trending in the right direction. And by he, I mean Mitchell Robinson. But, you know, it's looking like Precious Achiuwa is going to be the one starting out there. And again, I think we can get away with that early on.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we face those elite bigs, you know, those Embiids, those Jokic, you know, that's going to be problems. It's just going to be problems. Boston.
Porzingis when he's healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. Took it right out of my mouth. So that's going to be the problem for us.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. But, you know, the New York Knicks, 1 month away until training camp. I'm still excited. This is, you know, obviously some rumor stuff that we wanted to get into, but we're still going to have an amazing season. And I can't wait. It's just, you know, going to be one of those incredible seasons. And I think this year is going to be special. It's just this Mitchell Robinson thing is obviously hovering, you know, because it's our weakness. You know, every Knicks fan knows it. It's our weakness, and this is why Kessler's name has been in the trade rumors as well. It's just health. You know, if this team, I asked it on Twitter, at Knicks Nation, what are the expectations for Mitchell Robinson? What do the Knicks have to do to win an NBA championship? 90%, 95% of the answers were health. Julius Randle, OG Anunoby. We're talking about Mitchell Robinson, but OG Anunoby, Julius Randle have to stay healthy.
Hey, even Jalen Brunson, let's not forget, you know, the past season he's had those, you know, nagging ankle injuries where, you know, he's taking a jump shot and guys are just overstepping. He's not getting those calls, you know. Yeah, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. But yeah, I agree. Health is definitely the number one factor. I think as long as our guys stay healthy or at least relatively healthy throughout the season, and especially come playoff time, we have bodies available.
Yeah.
I think we're in for an amazing season. Amazing season. And yeah,
can't
man.
Wait.
Who's to say, you know, maybe Mitchell Robinson misses a few weeks early on in the season and stays healthy for the rest, you know? Because usually it's the reverse.
Sign me up for that, man.
Yeah. Usually it's the reverse, you know? It's like he's good, he starts off well, and then boom, some freak accident or injury, and then he's out a couple months, and then he comes back late and gets re-injured or something like that, you know? So
but we've been talking about it. The Knicks have to have some type of plan in place for Mitchell Robinson. They have to have some type of plan in place.
It also drives me a bit mad because, again, you know, I feel at least as soon as the Knicks find out that Isaiah Hartenstein was going to OKC, what was your plan? Because I hate to say that because the front office, Leon Rose, William Wesley, they have been amazing.
Yeah,
you know, they have barely missed on a lot of the stuff they've done. But as soon as the Knicks found out that Ihart was going to OKC, what was the plan? We just saw center after center after center after center just come off the board, you know? And then basically had to get the last man standing, which was Precious, which I felt like, again, was just like some sort of safety blanket.
Yeah, and remember, they waited a long time for that too. So
yeah.
I think some people in the Knicks front office thought Hartenstein was coming back, and they made the Bridges trade. Remember, that trade wasn't official for a while because they were trying to figure some cap space stuff out. And I think some people thought Hartenstein was coming back, and then OKC gave him that $29 million offer, and obviously he went to OKC, and the Knicks. Yeah, they re-signed Precious. They have Campaign, and they drafted Tyler Kolek. So they gave themselves, you know, enough guards, some wiggle room to, you know, acquire that big just in case Mitchell Robinson was to go down. So, but yeah, I think they thought Hartenstein was coming back. I truly do think that.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be. And like I said, it's rare for this front office, I guess, to get caught in that type of a scenario. Because usually we've seen this front office have plan A, B, and C in a sense, right? And I think in this instance, man, they must have thought he was really coming back because they didn't go out and get a damn person until, you know, basically Precious signed for, you know, relatively cheap, you know. I think, what, 5-6 mil?
Yeah.
So kind of bailed us out there. But as far as having a traditional big, I feel like we kind of missed the mark there, you know, especially once Ihart left. They should have acted a little bit quicker to address that, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I think I saw something on ESPN Plus that, you know, some scouts were disappointed that the Knicks didn't address the Hartenstein situation. They say that we kind of overpaid for OG Anunoby, and you know, there was a lot of picks for Mikal Bridges, but in essence the New York Knicks are going to be a great team next season. It's just a matter of staying healthy, you know. It's the three big guns. It's Julius Randle, it's OG Anunoby, and you know, I'll throw in Mitchell Robinson in there. Really, if one of those guys goes down, it's gonna be tough to overcome that. And you know, we have Mikal now. We have, you know, Jalen and Josh and Dante. But all in all, we need the guys. We need Julius, OG, and especially Mitch, man. So we'll see, Chris. It's interesting. You know, we'll see.
It is. I mean, Mitch instantly becomes like critical. You know, literally critical. Because outside of Mitch at 7 foot, the closest you have to that is Jericho Sims, 6'10". Huck Porty, 6'11".
That's our guy right there, baby. Huck Porty. Let's go.
I, I feel like Porty's gonna, you know,
let's go.
Obviously not right away or anything like that. I'm not gonna say he's just gonna, but I feel he's gonna have a, you know, he's gonna do what Jericho Sims did early on in his career. You know, kind of surprise some people.
He's gonna be nice. 22 years old. Hey, this site I'm looking at right now has him at 7 foot. Chris, you left an inch off of him.
Okay.
All right. We'll see. Walker Kessler's rumors are still, you know, alive and well. And, you know, I thought this was a good conversation to get to you guys. Obviously, not much really going on. I think Brunson's birthday is the 31st. Mikal's birthday is the 30th. And, you know, oh, the Carmelo Anthony thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about that, man? Carmelo Anthony, I think it was the 2022 season. You know, Carmelo was approached by the New York Knicks about a reunion, and both sides had mutual interests. But ultimately, Melo turned them down. What was your thoughts when you heard that, man?
I didn't really, feel anything towards that. I was just like, damn, it could have been nice to have Melo on the team. I think his concerns were that if he was going to play or not. I really do think his concerns was Tom Thibodeau. Like, I don't know if he really wanted to deal with the, you know, the grind. I think he was already checked out and he didn't really know the Knicks plan about how to use him. I think Knicks players wanted him to be on the team and were courting him, but Melo decided to, you know, not come. And I thought it would have been nice, you know. I mean, we dealt with the Randall injury and we couldn't literally score that year, so in the playoffs. So it would have been nice, but it is what it is.
It would have been awesome. I would have loved to see Melo play again in the Knicks uniform. But
Brunson, that would have been nice.
Yeah, exactly. With Brunson, with Randall, you know, it would have been dope. It would have been dope to see, and I'm sure he would have helped the team. But, you know, like you said, I don't think maybe so much it was Tibbs per se, but I just think I don't like he said, he didn't want his lasting image to be him sitting on the bench, you know, for the New York Knicks. You know, he wanted to be remembered as Carmelo Anthony, you know, scoring 60 plus, you know, just a flamethrower, just having a huge impact on the game. And he thought he was going to be a distraction, which honestly, I agree. You could clearly see Knicks fans probably going crazy in the garden chanting for Melo, you know?
Yeah.
So I get it, man. I thought it was pretty dope, man. I mean, we've all heard the rumors every season since Melo basically left. When will he come back? When will he come back? So it's nice to kind of get some acknowledgement that, yeah, it almost happened, man. It almost happened in 2022, man. But I would have loved to see Julius, Carmelo, Jalen Brunson on the court. I don't know how the hell that would have worked, but I would have loved to see it, man. For sure.
It would have been dope. It would have been dope. So that was, you know, Melo pretty much throwing that little, I mean, that was random too. I was like, oh, yeah, there was rumors about it, but we didn't really know the full story. And then Melo came out and told the story. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
That was dope. It's always nice to get those, you know, like behind the scenes, you know, kind of details that, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. All right. So, look, this was another recorded episode of the Knicks Nation podcast. We have a channel announcement. So here's what's going to go down. Chris and I are going to be recording a player series. So every single player on the active New York Knicks roster, we will do a single video, 10, 15 minutes, depending on the player, could be longer. I mean, it just depends on, you know, the conversation. So every single Knicks player, we're going to do one YouTube video. So one player equals one YouTube video before the season starts. So you guys can kind of get a preview for the 2024-25 season. That should be fun. It's our first year doing that. I'm excited to do that, Chris.
Yeah.
Should be some fun conversation.
That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. A lot of videos, a lot of work. So, you know, we're going to post it on the audio side and on YouTube. So would appreciate if you guys, you know, tuned in. And then after that, you pretty much have media day a little after that finishes. And, you know, that's when, you know, little bits of rumors and tinkers and news and things are, you know, going to come out. So it's fun. It's exciting. I'm excited for that series, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun, man. Something new we're going to be doing. So, you know, like you said, lot of work, but we love to do it, man. We love to do it.
Yeah, so lock into the Knicks Nation YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. Smash the like button. Tons of videos coming your way. I think we're going to start with... Do you want to tell them who we're going to start with, or do you want to...
Yeah, why that? Not? Yeah. We could get some questions on these guys. I'm thinking we're starting with Dante DiVincenzo and Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
First two.
We're going to start with Dante and Mitch. So, yeah, I mean, after that, we're going to go through the roster and whatnot. But, yeah, Chris, this was fun. Anything we missed out there in Knicks land? Not much going on. I mean, 1 month. That's it.
Yeah, man. Walker Kessler is just the hot rumor out there right now. And, you know, reminiscing about Melo's days as a Knick, right? That's it. That's all we got right now.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, we got 1 month until media day. And, you know, look out for the content on the Knicks Nation YouTube channel. And, yeah, if anything obviously was to transpire, we will be on here. We normally live stream these episodes every Sunday. But like we said last episode, because it's kind of on the slower side, we're kind of reacting to content on and recording it for you guys. And I think it makes for a better conversation as well. So. Episode 63 in the books.
That's it.
I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.